Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. Pete and I are off out walking through the magical wonderland that is Wolverhampton, as we normally do when we begin our podcasts. And we're standing in a field at the moment, very, very sunny. It's very, very gorgeous, actually. We're going to do part 6 of our Lao Tzu series. And Pete's going to read, we're on chapter 11. Pete's going to read this chapter and then we'll have a chat about it.
Chapter 11. 30 spokes on a cartwheel go towards the hub that is the centre. But look, there is nothing at the centre, and that is precisely why it works. If you mould a cup, you have to make a hollow. It is the emptiness within it that makes it useful. In a house or room, it is the empty spaces, the doors, the windows, that make it usable. They all use what they are made of to do what they do. But without their nothingness, they would be nothing.
Okay, so the first question, I suppose, there is, what do we think Lao Tzu was hoping that the people who read that or the people who heard it would get from it?
As always, Lao Tzu here is being very practical and he's also advising us. And particularly he's advising us on meditation. But the great thing about Lao Tzu is that whenever he advises on meditation, which frequently, he does it with a really, really light touch. He doesn't tell us. He shows us. He's already stated that he can't tell us. He who speaks does not know. He who knows does not speak.
Yeah.
The tale which can be named is...
He was off the mark with that one straight away, just to make it perfectly clear, wasn't he?
Yeah, the tale which can be named is not the eternal tale.
Yeah.
So his methods... are very subtle, and as I said, they rather more have the character of pointing out poetically than stating or telling us. You know, his instructions it's very subtle and very, very light. It's a wonderful light touch, but it's always practical as well. For him, there's a relationship between meditation, self-inquiry, and the practicalities of life.
What makes it so powerful?
It makes it very, very powerful.
Why it's still in print all this time later?
Of course, yeah. And through that relationship between meditation and the practical aspects of life, there's also then a relationship into the practicalities of politics and, well, if you like, social organisation, which Lao Tzu often speaks about. And to my mind, this is what's wonderful about Lao Tzu, you know, is this relationship between self-inquiry and ideas about social organisation. Now, in this chapter, he's actually focusing in on meditation. But what he's doing is drawing his example, his metaphors, his poetic pointing from some very, very practical aspects of life. It's homely. It's a homely explanation. He talks about cartwheels. He talks about doors and windows in rooms. He talks about cups.
Yeah.
And the point that he makes is really obvious. It's really obvious. If you mould a cup, you have to make a hollow. It is the emptiness within that makes it useful. So if you had a cup that it had the shape of a cup, but no space inside it, it couldn't function.
No.
It couldn't do its job of containing liquid so that we may drink. And similarly, without the space of a window, a room wouldn't be functional because it wouldn't have any daylight. A cartwheel without the hub, the hole for the axle, couldn't function. there would be nothing for it to turn around as a wheel. And similarly, our minds couldn't function usefully and practically without emptiness, without space.
And I like the way that he's really, really pointing out how it's not just meditation for meditation's sake. He's relating it to
living
your,
living well, and
your practical life.
Yeah.
And just something I've noticed recently, because we've had a lot going on in our lives just recently, and it's still going on. And there's many, many things to think about, many worries, many different strategies to cope with the worries. And yesterday morning I woke up and then my mind was so busy and so full of all this stuff that I actually couldn't think about anything effectively at all.
Yeah.
It's like there was this, it's like my cup was so rammed full of stuff that it was useless.
Yeah. You had a cup with no space.
Yeah. And so I really get what he's saying there.
Yeah. I mean, you might doubt that he is talking about meditation here, and it's just this general sort of metaphysical thing. But actually, he's saying, but look, there is nothing at the centre, and that is precisely why it works.
Yeah.
And of course, we are admonished in many, many meditation traditions to look inward, to look at the centre of our being, which is really a way of saying, look inwardly, look at what's going on with you in the field of your awareness or your felt lived experience. And what you just recounted was an experience of not having the usefulness of the emptiness available to you. And meditation, in Lao Tzu's approach, is precisely about allowing the emptiness or the silence, which of course is just sonic emptiness, to come into the foreground. Now, he's not saying we have to cultivate emptiness, because we already have emptiness, but we do have to, through experience and inquiry, learn how to use it in order, when we think, to actually think clearly and properly. So he's not against thought. So he's asking us to, again, not force anything. His advice is always, as I mentioned earlier, to take a very, very light touch. A very light touch. It's more about letting be with awareness than it is about cultivating and changing. Even though Taoism did evolve into the complexity of alchemical operations on the self, which are very complex. And that's a similar trajectory that we had in India, from the simplicity of Patanjali into the complexity of the alchemical approaches of medieval Tantra. He's not against thought, per se. But he is for thought that is practical and clear. And for our minds to be useful, they need to be rather like these cups and windows and cartwheels, and to have some space and some emptiness within them. And it's not as though we have to cultivate that. We don't have to cultivate that, because it's already present. It is actually like a prerequisite of thought. Thought occurs on a ground of silence. Human felt lived experience occurs in a context of space and emptiness. So Lao Tzu is offering us an indication that we need to let that space and emptiness function. We need to allow it. And I often say that in these very non-technique meditations, that by allowing ourselves to settle, or when sitting, just sit, when approaching meditation in this fashion of when sitting, just sit, or sitting quietly doing nothing. But that is an approach and an orientation that will allow the emptiness to come into the foreground. Because in the kind of cluttered state, in the over-anxious state, in the very busy state, the emptiness is still present, otherwise there won't be any thought, but it's receded right the way into the background. And since Lao Tzu is so practically minded, this is almost like hygiene. It's like mental hygiene.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, to me, we were discussing this before, you know, the links between this and mental health are very clear.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've often talked about like weeding your mind. Meditation can be like just a very practical thing. It's a bit like getting the weeds out, just clearing the space.
Yeah. Even though if you've ever weeded an allotment, you know, a few weeks after you're thinking, you're congratulating yourself how clear it is, the weeds are coming back.
Oh, yeah. That's why meditation needs to be a regular thing, just to keep things clear.
Yeah.
And then when you do come back to it, if you haven't meditated in a long time and you know that your mind is very busy, it's like coming to the allotment after you've left it all summer.
Yeah.
And it's turned into a wilderness, and it takes quite a lot of work and time to get rid of the weeds.
Yeah. So even though it's not a cultivation, it is a bit of a knack.
Well, once you've found your way there the once, I think you recognise the path.
Well,
you know what I mean? Not that there is a path, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, the way he's talking about it here in this chapter is he's simply describing something about the status quo of the world in such a way as to bring our attention to a certain feature of it. And that feature of it is the functionality of emptiness in all kinds of practical ways. But of course, he's always advising us on meditation. So he's showing us that this exactly this same aspect of the status quo applies in the field of human awareness or human felt lived experience, which is the terrain of meditation. And so he's very much a Wu Wei, non-doing person. Very much a letting be person. Very much a going with the flow person. Consequently, a classic Taoist meditation is described as forgetting.
Oh.
It's an exercise in forgetting, whereby you go and sit somewhere quiet and you just let yourself forget everything for a bit. All the concerns, all the tasks at hand, all the business, just forget it.
My experience, this is a very important thing to do on a regular basis.
Yeah. And of course, again, you see, it's very minimal. It's a very light touch. There are no real complex operations. There's no moral improvement going on there. There's just simply this allowing of the space, allowing of the silence, letting it come into the foreground. But you don't have to create it. I have to keep saying this. You don't have to create it. It's already there. But you do have to let it flip forwards. Because the pressures of life, particularly modern life, push it into the background to the extent that we forget that it's there. So I'm forgetting, and I think that's it's actually really quite marvellous. Of course, Nietzsche was alert to this, and he kept saying, you know, blessed are the forgetful, for they will get the better even of their blunders. And his other remark, there is no joy on earth without forgetfulness.
Yeah.
If we're cluttered all the time with our anxieties and concerns, we very, very quickly go crazy. So, go towards the emptiness, the quietness, the thing that makes the mind work at all. And that is your meditation, but it's practical. It's about actualising yourself as a human being. Because notice at the end he says, without their nothingness, the cup, the window and the door would themselves be nothing. They would be not functional. They wouldn't be worthy of being given a name, because they wouldn't do anything. They would just be shapes. It's the same with us. Without our emptiness, we're not anything. We're not human. We're not the thinking, feeling, understanding, exploring, loving, mortal beings. And in fact, we are.
Yeah.
So this is greater advice, I think, in a dozen lines, that works in the very, very poetic way of simply pointing out something about the way the world actually is, the way our practical, familiar world actually is, and simply drawing out a very potent feature of it.
Okay, well, we're coming to the end of our walk now. I hope that was useful to you all. Some interesting thoughts in there, and we'll speak to you again soon.